All right, well, welcome everybody to the regular scheduled January 14 Westminster City Council meeting. We've already certified a quorum, called the meeting to order. At this time, if you would, join us with the invocation and the pledge of allegiance.
Pray. Holy God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunity to answer the call to serve you and to serve our city. Direct and guide our hearts and our minds and our words and our actions during this meeting and in every aspect of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No one signed up for public comments?
Yes, sir.
All right, at this time, we'll move on to the special presentation. Mr. Will Walls of Love Bailey, Certified Public Accountants. You, sir, have the floor.
All right, yes, sir, thank you. Again, my name is Will Walls, and I'm an audit manager at Love Bailey & Associates. Good to be here with you all tonight. Before we look into the actual financial information of the audit, we always kind of like to go over what our responsibility is for the audit and what the city's responsibility is for the audit. So our main goal and objective is to issue an opinion which provides reasonable assurance that the financial statements are materially correct. Also, we also like to disclose that this was not a forensic audit, so we didn't specifically design things to try to find fraud, but we did have some procedures as to which we had no discoveries of fraud for the 2024 audit. And lastly, we're not to give any kind of advice or make any kind of management decisions because we have to remain independent from the city. And in regards to the city's responsibilities, y'all's main responsibility is to maintain effective internal controls and regularly assess risks. So some examples of that could be good segregation of duties, good approvals of sign-offs on payables and payroll, up to which y'all had no internal control findings for the 2024 audit. And that's different from the previous year. Y'all had, I think, two or three findings in the previous year, so those went away this year, which is a good sign for the city. And then lastly, y'all are responsible for the financial statements. So y'all have an external CPA firm, not Love Bailey, another CPA firm that does a lot of the month-end reconciliations and cleaning up for the audit, and they prepare the financials, but the numbers that they use have to be complete and accurate in order for us to issue an opinion. And there were no findings for the 2024 audit and no major adjusted journal entries that causes any kind of concerns. And then the opinion that I mentioned earlier, y'all received an unmodified opinion, which means that the financial statements are materially correct in all generally accepted accounting principles. And that is the best opinion that the city can receive. So it's another good thing for the city. And in your folder that I gave y'all, there is a two-year comparison schedule. And this first page is basically your income statement for the general fund. And I know y'all do a lot of your budgeting based on the general fund and the proprietary fund, but we like to go over both the general fund and the proprietary fund. So this first page is basically your income statement for the general fund. And you'll see there your total revenues increased $256,000 from the previous year. Most of that was related to an increase of $356,000 for your intergovernmental revenues, and that was due to Oconee County giving y'all, I believe, $550,000 for the fire allocation this year compared to only $285,000 in 2023. And then additionally, y'all had a decrease of $394,000 in miscellaneous income, but that was mostly due to the sale of some assets in 2023. Y'all didn't have that in 2024. And then your interest income increased $200,000, and that was due to y'all having more money in the local government investment pool in 2024 compared to 2023. And also, there was an increase from 4% to 5.57% for the interest rates on those local government investment pool funds. If you jump down and look down to the expenditures, y'all had an increase of around $46,000 of expenses. Most of that was public safety, a $303,000 increase, and that was mostly due to salaries, but it was also due to more full-time employees in 2024 compared to 2023. And we'll look at that a little bit further On the following page, just so you can look at a comparison for the salaries and wages. But the capital outlay decreased $335,000. And you can kind of see out to the side, I created the three main things that those purchases were related to. Two police vehicles, trucks for public works, and then a scoreboard for the rec department. So if you jump down a little bit further, the other financing uses and sources section, it's just basically non-operating revenues and expenses. You had capital lease proceeds, so y'all sold a capital lease last year of y'all entered into a capital lease agreement for $317,000 in the previous year, which did not occur this year. And then y'all had transfers in of $5.7 million this year. And most of that was from the capital projects fund, a transfer of money from the capital projects fund to the general fund. So overall, your net change in fund balance for the year was $5.1 million. That was $121,000 last year, and most of that was related to that transfer in from the capital projects fund. So your ending fund balance at 6/30/2024 was $6.6 million, and your unrestricted cash and your local government investment pool balances were $1.6 million at 6/30/2024. The following page just kind of goes into detail of where Westminster is spending their money. And we always like to kind of give a breakdown of the salaries and tax benefits, because that's a majority of your expenses for the most part. And you can see your salaries and wages increased $415,000. Your benefits increased $114,000 for a total of $529,000. And like I said, if you look at the very bottom, we have the number of full-time employees with salaries over $20,000 in 2023 was 39, and that was 44 in 2024. So the average salary per employee only increased around 5%, but that was due to the cost of living increase that y'all gave all your employees from 2023 to 2024. The following page is the net income for the proprietary fund. So that takes into account your electric, sewer, water, solid waste. This is that fund. So overall, your operating revenues in the proprietary fund increased $209,000 from the previous year. A lot of that was other customer fees. Y'all had tap fees, I believe, from Spinks, which was $95,000, and then a new neighborhood, Heirloom Farms, of $198,000 that occurred in 2024 that wasn't present in 2023. So like I said, again, the operating revenues increased $209,000 in total. Your total operating expenses decreased $711,000, and that was mostly due to materials y'all were purchasing for the big water project that y'all had, and it was starting to come to a close in 2024, so y'all had more purchases in 2023 compared to 2024. And then in your non-operating section, again, your interest income increased for this fund as well, $263,000, and that was, again, more funds in your LGIP accounts and a higher interest rate in 2024 compared to 2023. Your interest expense did increase as expected, because y'all took out that $8.26 million bond anticipation note for the projects. So y'all had to actually record a little bit of accrued interest, which is basically interest that's going to be due soon, but y'all are on an accrual basis for this fund, so you have to accrue that interest to report that liability. So you had an increase of $400,000 in interest expense from the previous year, and then y'all had $462,000 of ARPA funding for the utilities fund in 2024 that was an increase from last year. So in total, again, you had some transfers out of $1.26 million, but in total you had a change in net position of a decrease of $658,000. A lot of that is a result of that transfer out into the general fund. So your ending net position at 6/30/2024 was $9.9 million. Your unrestricted cash and your LGIP balances for the proprietary fund was $766,000 at 6/30/2024. The following page is basically your balance sheet for the government as a whole. So this is all your funds. This is the general fund, proprietary fund, the capital projects fund. And this is just basically your assets, liabilities, and then your total net position. So in total, your cash and restricted cash increased $5.6 million from the previous year. Your accounts receivable decreased $446,000. That was because y'all were waiting on some ARPA funding at 6/30/2023 that was not there at 6/30/2024. Your inventory increased $456,000, and that's just because y'all are still working on those water projects, and that inventory, the materials in that inventory, will actually go into a capital asset account once it's in process and running. So in the non-current asset section, you'll see your non-depreciable capital assets, which is your construction in progress and land, anything that you don't depreciate. It increased $7.5 million, and it's due to that $8.5 million of expenditures for the waterline improvement project. And then y'all also transferred out $1 million into the depreciable assets. So if you look down below that, you'll see the depreciable capital assets increased $1.1 million. And that's a result of that CIP coming into the depreciable assets, along with $760,000 of other capital expenditures. And I've kind of listed that there as well, down below that, of the details of those expenditures. And the next little section you'll see is the deferred outflows of resources. There's also a deferred inflows of resources, and both of these are related to your pension liability, which is the state retirement plan. And each year, the PIBA generates a report based on the actuaries go in and kind of look at the number of employees that the city has, and economic factors, life expectancy, et cetera, and adjusts that liability accordingly. So we use those reports to adjust y'all's deferred inflows and outflows and the pension liability. So those are the reason for the increases and decreases there. Your AP increased $427,000, and that's just a result of timing at year-end of paying vendors. Like I said, y'all were working on that project, so y'all had some outstanding invoices at 6/30/2024 for those vendors for the project. Again, your interest payable, I kind of explained that earlier, that y'all had to record some accrued interest based on the new debt. And then you'll see that $8.26 million bonds payable. And right now it was in current because it was actually due within 2025, but
we defeased it in December.
Yep, y'all just defeased it and rolled it over into the USDA. So that'll look a little different next year. Obviously y'all won't have $8 million of payments due in the upcoming year. Again, in the non-current liability section, your capital leases payable increased $229,000, and that was mostly a new electric line truck of $535,000 that y'all are now using, along with $135,000 of principal payments on those capital leases. So overall, your net position increased from $12.9 million at 6/30/2023 to $18.3 million at 6/30/2024. And we always do this calculation at the very bottom of that page. It's called cash on hand. And that's just a measurement of how much unrestricted cash y'all have to cover operating expenses at 6/30/2024. So you can kind of see at 2023, that was 3.3 months. And then now at 6/30/2024 is 2.6 months. So it did decrease slightly. And we always encourage all the municipalities and clients that we work with to have 3 months of operating cash on hand, just due to the timing of receipts. I mean, you have tax receipts that come in, big lump sums at certain times of the year, and you could be waiting on grant money. So it's just always good to have that 3 month reserve to cover expenses and not have to fret about cash coming in. The final page is a synopsis of your debt at 6/30/2024, and it's broken out by the governmental funds and proprietary funds. The governmental funds had $197,000 of debt at 6/30/2024, and the proprietary funds had $10 million of debt. And then the right-hand column is basically your FY25 principal and interest payments on those debts. So you can kind of see what y'all are going to have to pay in 25. Excuse me. But then again, though, in the proprietary fund section, it looks like y'all have $8.9 million due in the upcoming year, but you really don't because that debt was rolled over into USDA. So I took out that bond principal payment at the very bottom, so you can kind of see it. You'll have $757,000 without that $8.26 million included. So those are the big highlights that I have for the 24 audit. And right now, I'll open it up to y'all to see if y'all have any questions regarding the 24 audit.
Do you mind speaking to the single audit that you had here? You talked a little bit about that, and I'd like to know what that is.
Yeah, so the single audit, each entity is required to have a single audit if you have $750,000 of federal expenditures each year. And it's basically us going in and making sure that the internal controls are in place and the proper use of funding was done with the funding that y'all received. And the USDA, since y'all converted the bond anticipation note into a USDA loan, that qualifies as federal dollars and federal expenditures. So a single audit was done this year, and there were no findings with that single audit. So.
And it's also in the back of your
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's called a Schedule of Federal Expenditure Award.
You're going to give us a quiz on.
I'm going to give you a quiz. It's pass or fail.
Okay. Yes, it's the three pages from the back, the Schedule of Federal Expenditures.
Thank you. That's all you got?
Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. That helped. Yeah. That was very, very good. That was a lot easier.
Yeah,
to read
sometimes it gets small though because I mean, you're trying to fit so much information.
On. You saw me doing that.
Yeah. So
font 14. That was great. That's what I like. 14. Right. But no, that's really helpful right there. That condenses it down to where it's a lot easier to.
Instead of having to read through 80 pages of.
Exactly. Yeah, we all read through all 80 pages.
I bet you
we all do. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for him?
Thank you. I just want to say there's a couple things I noticed. I'm so proud for our city's employees for their salaries, and that's still on the top priority list. We'll keep making that go up. I'm glad of that. I saw electric, there's about the same amount that was collected from last year. So for some of our customers, we think they really did wrong. That is, you know, it's about the same amount from last year. So I thank you for your explanation.
Yes, ma'am.
And Will, you're welcome to stay. We have a delightful council meeting.
You're
also welcome to. You're heading back to Abbeville tonight. Isn't that right?
Lawrence. Yeah,
no.
So about an hour and 45 minutes.
You're welcome to get on the way if you like to.
That's what I'm having for the medal.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll
enjoy
it.
That is true. I actually live a little south of Lawrence, so it's really like a 2-hour drive. So.
We have coffee. You're welcome to stay. You'll enjoy this.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you all.
Thanks a lot, Will. Kevin, put them on the list to call again. I like the way they did it.
Well, they have a 3-year contract.
Yeah, I like them better than any we've had since I've been here.
Same.
And he moved on through that.
He did it well, and he had it organized better than anybody we've had.
No PowerPoint.
All right, is that it?
Noted.
All right, move on to comments from Mayor and Council. Anybody on Council have any comments?
I just want to thank the utility department. Power went out, and we're doing great, and we're right back on, so thank y'all.
I thank y'all for none going out.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I retired December 31st and from Oconee County First Steps, and we have a delightful new executive director, Ms. Kaylee Osmond.
Ah,
and so she is wonderful. So welcome her, and we just can't wait to see what she'll do. So thank you.
Well, my turn. Well, my first one was to congratulate Miss Davy Slank on her retirement. So, and Reagan's wife for the new job. So
there you go.
I know you'll be excited about that. And then Kevin, a question: the depot doors, did they get repaired? You want to replace them or just repair it?
Do a repair on the one that
the double door.
The double sticks.
Yeah, the double door, because it's basically a hinge problem on that, and I think that's something we can get that care pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And also looking at replacing the locks on that, upgrading the locks on all of it.
All right, and the next thing I have, Kevin, you and I have talked briefly about this earlier. In our utility policy, it states once a utility account has had two return checks or drafts, that utility account becomes cash once for the lifetime of the account. So if somebody has a problem twice, from now on, they have to, they're not able to pay with a cash or a draft. Correct.
They're not able to pay with check. They can pay with credit card.
Yes.
Yeah, but they can't pay with a check.
They can't pay with
for the
check.
Lifetime. I just felt like that's pretty harsh for a lifetime. I mean, if you have an issue for a couple of years, a lot of people just enjoy paying with cash. And I had one of the utility customers ask me about it. She really wants to pay with a check. That's just the way she likes to do her bills. And that had happened to her. Rebecca, do you remember how far back it was? It was several years.
Yeah, it was.
And she asked me to ask Kevin and them about it, and I did, and they said, well, it's the utility policy, so that's our policy. That's what we have to stand behind. But I just feel like we could change that, it going a full lifetime of the account. Just want to see what the council felt about that, because that just to me is, I hate to punish somebody for their lifetime because of two mistakes.
So when do you stop? So my question is, so it's not a lifetime, but when do you say that's enough? How much does it cost when a return check comes and it doesn't cash out?
We charge, is it $35 or $50?
30. We charge 30.
Sometimes it costs us more than that, depending on which bank.
Yeah.
How many banks get involved.
Yeah.
Well, the customer has to pay for that, don't they?
There are a number of things where we have a sunset provision on some things internally that are 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to change it, that seems reasonable to me, but certainly that's up to the council. If you'd like us to draft that policy, you can change it whatever number you want to. We do that typically so the ladies aren't constantly having to...
Oh, I understand it completely. Yeah. It's just it being lifetime. When I found that out, I thought, well, that's kind of harsh. So,
sure, yeah.
If we could cut it back to 5 years, I'd be fine with that. Rebecca, you think it'd be okay?
I think so. I mean, I don't disagree.
And I don't know if hers is within 5 years. Yeah, she still may not be able to write a check, but we've got to come up with a number that's fair.
I remember it, but I don't remember how long it had been.
Okay.
I might put this in a ball.
5 years is fair.
Kevin, do you see any issues with it?
No, like I said, we have a number of things where we sunset. Lifetime is a bit drastic.
Yeah.
We'll draft it. We'll put 5 years in it. We'll let you see it, and then if you like it, you can prove it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. Anyone else? All right, next, move on to routine business comments from the ultimate utility director, Mr. Scott Packer.
Thank you, sir. I'm hacking a little bit right now, so sorry about that. So, updates. The biggest one is the Chopper River Bridge. I don't know how many folks have been up there if you've seen pictures online. It's mostly gone now. Saturday, they took down a section in about a minute and 42 seconds.
Wow.
In one span. The last section they're hoping to get down tomorrow evening. They've got to move some equipment, but they've got the river pretty much cleaned out from what they've already taken down. They'll take this last section down, and then the demo crew will be done. So, Router, the primary contractor's plan is to start with construction of a new bridge in about 2 weeks. They're moving equipment in now, so should be seeing some changes fairly quickly with that.
Decide to leave the old bridge?
That will be determined, I think the final best determination is February 28th. So we should know something that day.
Can you let us know that? Because I keep getting questions about that. Everybody wants to know that.
I will. Yep. As soon as we know, we'll pass that on to you. We did get the water line relocated. So we had to do a second relocation because of the layout of the new bridge. And that was done, got completed last December, last day of the month. So everything is set up The line that was put in is part of the original project. The upgrades up 76 is part of it's laid in the river and part of it's laid in the scrap pile. So they're gonna compensate us for that loss on that line somewhat. But we have everything set up for the new line to go on the new bridge, line stubbed out and it's ready for connection. So once the new bridge is in place, the contractor will come in and they will connect it up on the other end and take it across the bridge. So everything's ready to go. We are out of their way. Unless something drastic changes, we're good. Anybody have any questions on that? And we've got some videos if y'all are interested in seeing some of them. Some of the guys took some videos up there of a crew from Saturday, and I've got some from a few days, Friday last week, when they started taking down sections. So I can share them if you'd like to see some of these, because it's a pretty interesting process. Some huge equipment up there, and that bridge didn't stand a chance. On our SCIP project, our sewer project, we do have approval from RIA to move forward with another project. So we may have that coming out for bid within the next few weeks. That approval to spend the rest of our SCIP money. It's roughly about $3 million. So we have to get a bit done with that. And we'll keep you up to date on that. But that's going to be a big boost for the rehab projects we got going. The one we got in place now, the crews are they're still moving along. We've got a couple right away issues still working on, but they're making progress and it was done. So the weather's holding up some, but not a lot. They're still moving along. And on the storm last week, appreciate the kind words. We did get lucky though, because the ice didn't really affect us that much. Had a couple of trees that took out power for just a little while. They were right on it. Got it knocked out, and everybody back home. So we were happy that that's all it was. The guys were ready. We had everything laid out as best we could for Friday. Had everybody at the shop for a good while. So getting nasty, we just wanted to get and make a decision because everything looked like it was going to be fine for the system. Just go ahead and be on standby. So as soon as they got the call, they were in, took care of it, and had folks back. So glad we were able to take care of it.
Thank you so much.
When the power went out, I called it in, and it just kept ringing. Nothing ever picked up. Were the calls going through for the power outages?
I'll check and see. I know Taylor got notifications on it.
Okay.
We got notifications, so I'm not sure the system
can
call.
Yeah, my call just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. Never did pick up.
I called as well, and it said that they were already alerted that the power's out in my area.
So okay. It could have been just from
you shouldn't
the
have right.
I did have that happen, not during the storm, but before the storm. And I actually, because I didn't have Scott's number, I ended up texting Kevin and saying, hey, there's an outage and I can't get through on the line. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's something we need to look at. But
yeah, we're making a note right now to check in and see why that happened.
Yeah, I called and I let it ring at least 15, 20 times.
It did.
Yeah, never did pick up. And I just assumed. I just assume it's volume, but I know other people would have been getting on social media blasting us for not answering the phone.
Right.
But the next question is, have we figured out why we have such a big shutdown every time the limb falls? Do we have that kind of figured out?
Yes, we have some issues on some of the breakers. And we have breakers to replace the ones that we have at the substation now. It was Thursday. Our engineer came up and he made some adjustments on the breakers that are in place now, and that actually helped because what happened there, I mean, they're getting old, they're getting worn out, so it doesn't take much to make them trip early, and that's what knocks the system down. So typically when it goes out like that, they'll find one tree and it'll knock out the entire substation.
Right.
So they can go back in, reset individually the breakers. So what we're in the process of doing now, there's some control voltage lines that need to be run at the substation. And Taylor is working on materials for that. Once those materials come in, they'll get that run, and then those new breakers will get set in place and replace the ones that are there now. And that should eliminate that.
So it's not a big expense, something we're going to have to look at. I mean, it's within budget, nothing major.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be anything huge. Like I said, the biggest is going to be with the materials getting that in.
Good deal.
Yeah, we put money in this year's budget for those breakers that he's talking about.
Yeah.
And those are some refurbished breakers that we received from Blue Ridge.
That should let it just be one area instead of the whole grid.
Yes.
So you're ready for next week? Should have gone ready south again.
Yeah, Chris Jester says we're going to get another one. Just get ready.
We're ready.
And you know he's right every time.
Yeah.
But no, thank y'all. I mean, I don't think I heard any complaints this time. And normally we hear 50. I mean, normally I get messages on Facebook, texts. This time, no complaints. I mean, everybody just, they were okay. That says a lot for y'all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything y'all need, just let us know.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, Mr. Bronson.
Sir, Mayor, and certainly appreciate the utility department, just so that you know, whenever we have a situation like Helene coming up or that snowstorm, as a city staff, we sit down with the utility department, each of the department division directors, along with Chief Smith and Chief Miller, and we go through our plan. What is our plan? And just so you know, the plan is bring back the 123 corridor first. That's where most of commerce is. It's where the gas stations are. It's where the grocery store is. And then Taylor works out from there. They have a great plan ready to execute whenever it comes up, and they do a great job.
Yes, they do.
I talk about it, they do it. So appreciate the work that they do, and Scott is a really good influence on them. And so are our police and fire chief. They do a great job to make sure everything is kept safe. Speaking of the fire department, we had an ISO rating review. So ISO stands for International
Insurance Service.
Oh, the insurance. Oh, well, usually it's international. Insurance Service Organization. You know, just walk confidently. You don't have to worry about being right sometimes. That is the number. You typically will hear us refer to our ISO rating in a number from 1 to 10. 1 is the best, 10 is the worst. We are a 2 in the city limits.
Oh.
And periodically, they do a review of our ISO rating. We had that rating reevaluated, and they determine it. We do not, when they're going to do the review. They did that earlier in 2024, and we received a letter from them. October, November time frame, Chief. And essentially, it said that our ranking was slipping a little bit. What they do is they give the responding entity a month to say whether or not you want to try and hang on to the score you used to have, or are you good with going with the new score. Well, the probable or a likely score would be to go from a 2 to a 3 based off of this last review. However, because Chief and I responded within their time frame, and we had a discussion with them, Reagan was a part of the discussion, where they go through the entire scoring system, where everything was, they put us in a program that is called retrogression, which is just the name of the program that they have, and they in essence give you a year to remedy the things where you lost your points. So we went through that with the ISO folks. We still have our 2. We could go to 3, and the point value is just like when you were in school. 100 to 90 is a 1. Mm-hmm. Or 89 to 80 is a 2. Am I getting this right, Jim?
Close.
Okay. Again, just be confident. Nobody knows. We had slipped down below an 80 to a 76 and some change. 78 change. I should have Michael give this briefing. Do you want to take over?
Enjoy it.
Are you sure? I mean, I got all the numbers wrong. So what I'm getting at is we are not very far away from our previous rating, and it matters most from commercial insurance. So whenever you go from one rating to another next, that insurance is going to go up, particularly on the commercial side, a little bit less on the residential side. Well, we've asked for to go into that retrogression program, that put us into it. There are some things that we can do that may not cost any money to get some point values back. There are some things that cost a lot of money to be able to get points back. So I wanted you to know that as we go into the budget process, you're going to hear us talk about this quite a bit. There are points to be gained back by adding more firefighters. There are points to be gained back by making improvements to the water system. So internally, we are going through kind of those equations on where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck. We only have until October of this year to come up with that plan and have it reevaluated. And it isn't enough just to have the plan. You've got to show that you can meet the scoring to be able to keep the rating that we had. Because we're so close, I think it's very doable for us to be able to keep that too, but it very likely is going to mean some additional staffing in the fire department. Scott and I talked today about what we can begin to do to evaluate the water system. I'm a little bit surprised that we lost some points on the water system, because our water system is very much in better shape now than it was in 2015, which is when the last raised. You had a question.
The plan has to be implemented, but not achieved by all chambers. It has to be realistic and achievable, but not executed. Is that right?
I believe it has to be executed.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to show that we can have those points and sustain those points.
How does ours compare to the county? What is the county's?
The county is a 4 county wide. But there's some other values that come into play as far as staffing goes that can automatically move you to a 9.
Gotcha.
And that's what we don't want to do.
No.
Michael, when we had this discussion several years back, and I don't remember exactly, but wasn't it the rating up to a 4 just mainly affected commercial, didn't affect residential until it got over a 4? Was that right?
Now, he told us that, you know, you're going to see minimum from a 2 to a 3 in residential, but from a 4 to a 6, you'd see a substantial increase.
Right.
On commercial. When you get to a 9, it's like quadruple what you would pay.
Mm-hmm.
And a 10, they don't even write policies anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the 4, it didn't affect residential as much until it got to the level 4. Was that right?
I would say anything over a 4 is going to be substantial.
Yeah, over a 4. Yeah.
So
I think
it's going to be from a 2 to a 4, I would just guess off the top of my head, if you were paying $800 a year, you might go to $1,000.
Okay.
From a 2 to a 4. That don't hold me to that number.
Yeah, I can't remember. Chris went through all that with us back then, and I don't remember the exact numbers.
And it's changed 3 times since then.
Gotcha.
So.
And does the growth, like the amount of homes that are being built in all those subdivisions, just change that?
Everything comes into play. When you look at growth and you look at annexation, currently we were rated off of our 2023 numbers, not 2024, thankfully. 2023, none of the new properties that we've annexed in counts. So when you look at deployment asset points, where our fire department is and our staffing based off the area we're covering, he said we scored the best we could score. Most departments don't even score that much. But when you start annexing in out towards Highway 11, way out the county, eventually then you got to look at deployment issues and your response time. Which puts you back into NFPA 1710. You got to be, 90% of the time arriving a certain amount of time. But that's years down the road. The other aspect of it is call volume. Our rating was based off of 700 calls a year. This year, we didn't start running a ton of calls till about mid-March, and we were just shy of 1400. So we're predicting 1600 plus next year.
So with home growth, that's great, but in this, we'll get behind quickly if we don't have a really good plan to get it into gear yet.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And so that's why as we, I'm trying to, giving you a little bit of a preview as we go into planning discussions and budget discussions, that this, I mean, it's right in front of us now. It's not something that is going to come next year. It's right there, and we'll do some cost-benefit calculations together to decide the best way to approach it.
Mike, I've got a question for you. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm concerned about money, obviously. I mean, yeah, it's one of the things we have to look at. But are these insurance ratings also based? Yeah, obviously, I mean, one thing Kevin mentioned was more employees, more firefighters and stuff like that. How far behind are we? I'm talking about, like, firefighter safety, like actual life and equipment that, I mean, the
equipment was fine.
I'm concerned about.
We've got some really good equipment. When you guys bought our fire trucks, they were bought for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We've got one coming up on 20 years of life that's on the team. We take care of our stuff, we don't abuse it. Adding more staff naturally is, or not having enough staff naturally is the safety concern. And the wear on the people themselves. But, I mean, the biggest factor is safety overall.
Well, that's where I am.
Yeah.
How many people are we rolling, can we roll with? You had mentioned something at one point about we can roll with two people, we have to roll with four for certain things.
ISO don't recognize an engine company with under four people on it.
Okay.
So if you get dispatched to a structure fire and you don't respond to four people, then you don't meet the standard.
The recommended is four.
Yes.
What are we rolling with typically?
Two.
That's somebody to run the engine, and somebody basically has to stand outside the building while
somebody could
be inside. I'm more concerned about the life side of things than that money, because I know what happens. You know, one family loss, we lose somebody, but also then you run into more money down the other side. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Also wanted to give you an update. I dropped this in the administrator report. You know that when it comes to Cooper's Mill and Heirloom Farms, we have development agreements with those developers. So Cooper's Mill is a good example. It's a neighborhood. Their first phase is getting close to being built out. We bid out the project. We are actually financially responsible for the installation of the water and sewer line, and the developer reimburses us for that. We had an issue with Heirloom Farms, which is the new neighborhood being, the infrastructure being put in out on Seed Farm Road right there where Highway 11 and 123 come together. They got 2 months behind on giving us their reimbursement papers or reimbursement payments, so we did a stop work order on that work. We simply can't bankroll a developer's project.
Right.
They have since caught up on all the money that they owed us, so that the contractor is paid up. And I received, not long before I came over here today, the amended agreement with the developer for them to go ahead and pay us the full amount up front, so that we don't. I'm not a good bill collector, and so not my bailiwick to go out and try and harass developers to pay us the money they owe us. So they have agreed to go ahead and pay us up front to finish out the sewer. Probably will not start the water out there for a couple of months, and then they will pay us up front before we start that work. It's a bit different than what you saw when you passed those development agreements. We will probably have that on your February agenda for you to affirm the amended agreement. Never got an explanation from the developer as to why, but don't really care. They're caught up. It's current. We're back to being able to do some work out there pretty soon. Troy Rozier and his group have been really good for us to work with. And the reason we have the process we do is because it's the process that Troy prefers, since he's our civil guy. Before we do schedule another work session, since we talked about what we may need for a police department, or for a fire department, give equal time to the police department. I didn't plan it this way, it just happened. Fred is doing a great job. Are we fully staffed? Are you still waiting on paperwork for your
left? We're still waiting on paperwork. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks we'll be full staffed.
So he's got a certified officer on the hook. We're waiting on the paperwork to come through. Now we have a different challenge. We don't have enough police cars. You may or may not recall back about a year and a half ago, we had spare cars around that were not really very good. So we sold those off, got rid of them. They weren't things that we could actually use. And at one point, we had spare vehicles, which really were a little less worse than some of the worst. So we got all the worst out. But what that did when we made that move, we now have the exact number of vehicles for the exact number of police officers. We had one vehicle that was wrecked, so we're waiting on insurance to decide if they're going to scrap it out or not. That one will be taken care of. But two of our older Tahoes really are not what we want the officers to be. Typically, I would be asking for you to fund those new police vehicles in next year's budget. But given that we're going to have these officers on the ground and ready to work, some of them still have some field training they've got to do after they get out of the academy, and we can double them up. Very likely, unless you tell me not to, I'm going to come to you in March to do first reading of a lease purchase agreement to go ahead and fund, very likely, two. It may be three because of the one that was wrecked. I got to wait and see how the insurance worked out. To go ahead and get those two new police vehicles so that when the officers that are going through the academy get their academy training done and their field service work done, they can go into a patrol car and can depend on that car to run them through the whole shift. The other thing that I'll remind you of when we use that lease purchase program is typically 1 year from when we close when the first payment is due. So we will still have time to budget for that money a year from when it would be closed. But I don't know that I can make sure Fred and the police department is fully equipped if we don't do it out of cycle. So Fred and I have spent some time talking about it, and I told him that I would put it out there for you, letting you know my intention is to come back with that in March. There's a fair amount of work that I have to do with the bank to get everything lined up. Fred has already identified vehicles. The Chargers, saying the correct vehicle is something that he's looking at. They're a bit less expensive than the Tahoes, a little bit more flexible. So anyway, wanted to tell you that, give you a chance to say don't do it or be okay with it.
So on the lease side of things, are these vehicles fully equipped when they come, or is that something that's an added expense?
So we can do it either way. If we buy it with it equipped, we can include it in the lease purchase. If we buy it unequipped and then do it ourselves, then that equipment add-on we have to fund out of the budget.
Right.
So Fred is going to look for those vehicles that come from the dealer, either equipped or as part of the package from the dealer, it gets equipped.
Would those rotate out after a certain amount of years, just a continuing lease, or is that just depending on the contract?
So the way we've done the previous ones, some of the early vehicles that we did, my preference is to do a 3-year lease on them, on the police vehicles, just so we don't end up like we are with these Tahoes.
Right.
However, the bank that we've used for the last two lease purchase, they only do a 5-year lease program, which is okay. I mean, we can still work with that because some of the earlier police vehicles are still going to be on that 3-year rotation before we went to the current bank. That makes sense.
So
we have 3- and 5-year term vehicles. The 3 years will roll off before the 5, and we'll be able to keep that rolling stock in good working order so that we don't get in this shape again.
That'd be good.
So during the budget, we're going to be looking at fire and police increases.
Yes.
You said, did I misunderstand? Was this one of the newer Tahoes that we're looking at that got wrecked?
Yeah, it was one of, we bought two Tahoes
right.
2 years ago, and one of those was damaged in a wreck, and we're waiting on insurance to decide if they are going to total it or not. The cost of repair is pretty high, which our insurance will cover, but they have to make the decision. That's not something we decide.
Great. Yep.
And I'm guessing, Fred, we still don't have that decision yet?
No, sir.
Are there any grants available to help with any of the equipment that goes into those companies?
Yeah, and you know, Senator Alexander has gotten us money in the past for cameras, in-car computers, and we'll keep going after those through the Department of Public Safety. But very typically, if Fred is able to get these cars that are already upfit, it's going to be rolled into the cost. But we can still go after those DPS grants for other things that they may need in police. Some of them apply to fire, but most of them apply to police. All right, and now the last thing. We had a council work session planned on a snow day, and y'all rather play in snow.
Can you blame us?
I don't blame you. I'm just stating the fact. No, I think it was the right call to make not to have. We didn't want anybody on the road, not knowing how it's going to turn out. So my question to you is, do you want to reschedule the planning session? I'll give you a few of my thoughts and then ask you to respond. We have 4 budget work sessions planned. For the most part, we are covered up with work, meaning if you gave us new stuff to do, I don't know that we could do it because we are working on all the stuff from last year, this year. So think Horton Outdoor Rec Complex, think Anderson Park, the SCIP grant. Scott did a great job of managing that bridge, just kind of showed up because of Helene. We've got a very robust work schedule across every city department. Downtown, yes, Reagan is working on having the downtown street improvements will probably be let out to bid in the next couple of months. So we have a lot of stuff that is going on. So from our perspective, we are always interested in what you want us to work on first. And we're already working on what you told us was first last year and the year before because it takes a lot of time. That being said, if you want to reschedule the planning session, that's why I had this on the agenda. You tell me what you'd like.
Well, we need a planning session, but what's good for y'all? I mean, with the amount of work y'all got, we've got the conference coming up next week.
Yeah, in terms of, and we had secured a facilitator that also has some constraints, because I think it's best for you and for us to have a facilitator there.
Yeah, sure.
How different are we talking planning session workshop? I mean, can things that would have been in the planning session kind of been included in the workshop that you already have set up?
We could kind of do it anyway. What y'all have done in the past is you've had a day to sit and brainstorm and think of what you want it to be, the top priority, the second priority, those types of things, and then just kind of throw all your thoughts into the bucket and discuss where they vet out, which I think there's still a lot of value, because, or at least there is for me to hear you say that. February is probably going to be the earliest that I think that we could reschedule it based off of our facilitator and our collective schedules. I would also like Reagan to be at the planning session, and Reagan just makes it far more complicated than it would be otherwise because he's got trips planned too. He's got some economic development training. He's going to go through the South Carolina Economic Developers Institute, which will be paid for by PMPA this year. So he's going to be going for some of that. So I'm in a kind way making fun of Reagan in public. So. But I think it's important for him to be there.
Yeah.
We had been trying to stay focused on a Friday date, but Fridays end up just being almost non-workable.
Do you have a couple examples? I mean, is, dates it might
be? Would you be available to do a planning session on February the 11th, which would be your next count? Not the word. Could I send an email out possibly with some dates, and I'm going to send it to each of you individually, and then you just respond back, and then I'll give you, because I'd like to check with the facilitator with a few more dates that we had in February, because we didn't ask him to go too far out, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, that's the 11th council meeting too, that evening.
Yeah, I was just going to load you down.
Thank you.
Oh. So, I'm just kidding, hold on. I'm sorry, if we did do the 11th, that's what you're asking, because that's the first budget workshop as well. So you're asking for ultimately a whole day where those of us that are still working would be unavailable to work.
Okay.
And we're covered up. What I'm hearing you say is that we're still covered up from at least 1 year's worth of priority setting workshops, if not two.
Yes.
So we would in essence be adding to a workload that may not even be realized for another 3 years.
Right.
Just throwing that out there for everybody to think about.
Yes, that is true.
I question whether we need a priority setting workshop right now with everything that's on the table that's moving forward.
Well, it gives us an opportunity to talk through it, and if we need to reassess, Kevin can, give us updates on where we stand on what. So if we needed to reassess, or if he needs us to reassess, it makes it so much easier on them in the long run.
Okay.
It don't have to last all day. I mean, we've done them in 3 hours, 4 hours.
Well, we had planned this last one to be a 9 to 4, and really that was
all day.
We can easily make it a 4 hour work session, and I think come out with good value.
In addition to a 2+ hours council.
Well, I'm hearing you say you don't want that to happen.
I'm one vote.
Well, I hear you. I was kind of looking at Davey, I saw a head shake over there.
I'm one voice and one vote, but that pulls me away from some responsibilities. And the thing about it is, with it being sort of unethical to be on a cell phone, even though we fudged that a little bit, if someone calls and I'm in a council meeting, it just gets a little messy to be locked down for 8 hours.
I'll send an email with some dates.
Okay.
Is that good? All right. That's all I have.
That's it? All right. Anybody have any questions for the administrator? Questions, comments? I'll move on to the consent agenda. This is second reading on how many total?
Good question.
Of the zoning? Down through 15?
Yes,
down. Is that right?
12 separate items, 11 of which are for planning. One of which is for the OJRSA repeal, which we talked about last week.
Has everybody looked over these? Is everybody okay with doing them all at once?
Yep.
Do we need a motion? Do we have a motion?
Second.
Do we have a second? Motion for which items? Just to give the numbers 4 through
you
what?
You can just make a motion to approve the consent.
Yeah,
make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
There we go.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Aldridge?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Passes. Good job. Next, move on to old business. None. Move on to new business. Consider first reading of ordinance authorizing city manager to execute real property sale between the city and the South Carolina DOT. Mr. Bronson.
I'm
going
to hand this over to Reagan.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, we were contacted at the end of last year regarding the bridge project, which our utility director and our utility team has been manning most of that. SCDOT has requested that we can convey a small portion of a parcel that we own mostly in the Chaga River. It's less than 2,000 square feet, very small. They've requested that we convey that to them as part of the construction of the new bridge. And as a part of that, they have offered us the amount, I want to say, of $750. It's $700. It's in your agenda packet, that offer letter, to purchase 0.045 acres of land less than 2,000 square feet, most of which is actually in the river itself, not land that we use or build in the future. And they use their traditional measures to make that offer, as they would for any other acquisition of right-of-way or property. And those are attached. A couple things that we're still working on with them. They will be completing the title work and getting that to us before second reading. They do not have that for us at this time, but we will have it for you before second reading. That is also the same parcel that the city has a conservation easement on with Upstate Forever. We have about 80 to 90 acres, mostly surrounding the Chaga River, which protects our water source. We will be working with them as well in the next month before your council meeting to make sure we jump through all of their hoops appropriately, and that the subdivision of that parcel and DOT's subsequent purchase of that meets their checks and boxes as a part of that conservation easement. And Kevin has a good contact with them. He'll be working with them. Any questions you may have for me? We recommend the approval. DOT's been good to work with.
Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion or question?
If they offered 700, tell them 1,000.
Yes, sir. Why those conversations?
Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Next, item 17, consider second reading ordinance to amend the flood damage prevention ordinance article. We need a motion.
Mr. Mayor, that should be first reading. That's my typo on that.
Misspelled first?
Yes, sir.
Misspelled.
Suspiciously like second.
That's simple. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion.
Second?
Second.
We have a second. Discussion.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. We were approached similarly at the end of last year by South Carolina DNR. They have a flood mitigation program, and what they do is tasked to go to different municipalities, local counties, jurisdictions across the state to make sure that they have a flood damage mitigation ordinance. All that says is that we're taking the appropriate measures through our zoning and through our building permit process to make sure that buildings that are built in flood zones have the appropriate protections to minimize the damage that a flood can cause to their properties. We met with them with a flood mitigation specialist, and they determined that our processes and ordinance were all in compliance, but they did ask us to make a change to our code specifying Oconee County and not just unincorporated county. We just wanted to bring that to you all, meet their approval. Interesting for us, we don't have any flood districts in the city limits of Westminster, but as we grow and continue to annex, and if they were ever to redo that flood map and it does include Westminster, our ordinance will then apply to those districts. But currently it applies to none. We first passed this in 98, as far as I can find by my research, then we updated it recently in 2020. Staff recommends approval. It really won't change the ordinance itself, just cleaning up and specify it.
Any questions or discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Next, item 18, consider prime contract change order 001 between the city and Mammoth Sports. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion
that
we consideration of prime contract change order.
Second.
Motion second. Go ahead, Mr. Brunson.
Mr. Mayor Remy and members of council, we have celebrated with our groundbreaking and very appreciative to the contribution that Horton made the technical side of that is to actually go ahead and authorize Mammoth to do the additional work for what Mammoth has given us the funds to do. I have summarized the budget on page 6 of your agenda, just to reiterate where the money is coming from and what the money is going to. You have in your agenda packets the change order from Mammoth, which spells out in detail what it includes. You also have a schematic of what the fields will look like. And then, since they sent it, I included it. You'll see this funny looking diagram in your agenda packet, and that is where they would place the lights. This changed from when we signed the first one. They actually moved the light locations on that first field so that we could save some money and redirect some of those lights on the second fields, or the second set of fields. Staff recommends approving.
Any questions or discussion?
Do they, I mean, the 51-40 difference that I guess we're under budget?
Yeah.
Or over budget?
Over.
Is there not any negotiating with them just to balance that out?
I guess I'll say there could have been, and I've asked for some additional things outside the scope of work that is here for Mammoth to do. The reason I am not concerned with that $5,000 amount is we still have a couple of possible funding sources pending that only one of them needs to come through, and it will more than take out that $5,000.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying with Mammoth. I have been gradually asking them to do things outside their scope of work, looking for where that line is where they say no more.
Yeah, and beat them to death.
I intend to do it till I find the no more comment. I'll tell you, nearly all of that is so that Herb is going to get what he wants in other parts of that property. So I could have, except I've been asking for some
additional. I understand. Questions. I mean, you kind of got to.
But the $5,000 will more than make up.
Well, the only reason I ask is typically when, you know, working owner contractor, if they've got a budget in mind and we're over that budget, if, you know, half a percent on a fee or something to get to make sure everybody's happy. So I was just curious. But I'm with you. If you're out there getting freebies, keep getting them. We'll give them $5,000.
Trying to get everything we can get.
Yeah.
If there's anything left on the table, it won't be because we didn't try.
Yeah.
Anything else? Call for a vote.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
All right, move on. Consider the city council meeting dates for 2025. Everybody's had a chance to look over these and schedule them.
Mayor, I'll just point out, after we talked about this in December, we did change the meeting date in November. We moved it down, moved it to the third Tuesday instead of the second.
Thank you.
I believe that was the only thing that we changed.
November. Was that sent out? Well, we hadn't sent those out yet, have you?
Did you
see
that?
I believe I did.
Yeah.
I believe I did.
He did.
I've got it as the 11th and then the 18th. So the 18th is the one you sent out, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, I've got it. All right. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion second. Any more discussion? Call for a vote.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Sorry, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Last item, consider the City of Westminster budget development calendar. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Second. Has everybody looked over those dates? Mr. Bronson, we're good with those?
Yeah, they coincide with the calendar you just adopted. This is a matter of best practice.
Is that it?
Can I ask a quick question about this? I think maybe a year ago, Davey, you recommended or asked if there was a way for us to publish these dates
utility bills that go out. Do you remember that? Is that something we can start doing, maybe, just so that folks know? And
do you want the council meeting or the budget meeting, or both?
I think anything that's public should be publicized.
Okay. Now that you're saying that, I think someone did, whether it was a maybe or not.
I can't remember.
And I can't remember what I found out on the other side, but we'll go back and we'll follow up. It's really not a big deal for us to put something in.
I do clearly remember that conversation.
Huh?
I clearly remember the conversation.
I mean, I just think it would help for, you know, folks to have something that they're seeing that's from the city and not necessarily on social media.
Yeah.
Right.
This is when we're meeting, this is what's coming out.
And maybe we could put it up like at gym and different places where people can talk.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, call for a vote, please.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes. All right, need a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Rebecca, we're going to miss you, honey.
We weren't too quick for that, were we? Hey, look at that.
Pretty simple once you got that.